Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Why didn't you have 9 linemen, Kev?
Whatever.
Yeah, that was one of the questions I saw. Zach Jackson was the first one I saw note that he didn't understand, given their injury situation with the linemen and DeJuan Jones and his knees, and why they didn't have who's the other guy, Kenny, that was there
Javion
in preseason?
Cohen?
No.
Oh, Jermaine Ifedi.
Yes. Why he wasn't on the Jermaine active Effetti roster on Sunday.
I don't know. Let's ask John Greco about that. He's on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Former Browns guard, current analyst. Hello, John.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
So why didn't they carry 9 linemen instead of 8? Or, excuse me, yeah, they carried 8 linemen. They should have carried 9. Should they have? Is that the question I need to ask you? Yes, it is. So let me ask you.
You know, that's tricky. I've gone into games where there's been 7 active offensive linemen, and there could have been a situation, you know, somewhere else on the field, a different position, where they said, no, we need some more support here. I know special teams is heavily relies on having extra bodies out there, because that screws everything up if a guy gets injured. Then you're bringing, you know, potential starters in to play special teams. Of course, the situation we're in right now, it's easy for us to say, oh, they, you know, what a big mistake getting carry 9. And there were some guys going into that game, you know, with Jed Wills coming off an injury, and DeJuan Jones kind of being, you know, laboring and having some knee issues as well. It's easy for me to say it would have been a good idea to do it. But, you know, maybe they felt good enough going in that 8 was a good enough number and they weren't going to have to worry about it. So, sure, yeah, it's easy for us to say that now. But, you know, before the game, they probably felt good enough to where they can get away with the 8 guys up.
So Watson gets sacked 8 times in that game, and it was pretty clear what the plan of attack for the Giants was. And Stefanski admitted yesterday that, yeah, you could see very early on what their attack was. Didn't really seem like a lot of adjustments were made. Who did you put the majority on those sacks on? Was it the offensive line or was it Deshaun Watson?
Well, I mean, I was at the game. I was watching with my 2 eyes. And, yeah, I mean, I think it was a lot of offensive line issues. And, you know, I heard Kevin Stefanski say, you know, every time there's a sack, it's on all of us. And okay, you know, I'm with that because – I played offensive line, and of course, there are situations where, you know, you may not have gotten into the best protection or you know, slid the correct way. But a lot of those issues were guys getting beat one-on-one or 2 guys not working in combination together, passing off twists and really finishing the block. So, yeah, I would say the majority of them were on the offensive line. I don't think that's a secret. But, you know, I was surprised, guys. You know, I heard a couple times, and Deshaun said it in his postgame interview, that they were surprised by what New York did as far as the number of pressures and the different things. I don't know, guys. It's week 3. It's not like you have, you know, 8 games of film and there's this huge sample size to where you're like, okay, well, we ruled out everything that they can't do. This is what we're going to see 100%. I mean, every team that I've ever played for on, you know, you kind of prepare for everything and anything. And your rules, your protection rules should be able to cover things that haven't shown up on tape. And that's you know, how I remember preparing for games. So that kind of, you know, confused me a little bit to where it's not like the Giants were inventing these, you know, blitzes from outer space that no one's ever seen. I mean, they were bringing 5-man pressures and 6-man pressures. So these are things that everyone has seen at some point in their lives, whether it be training camp, last season. So it's either that they weren't prepared and they weren't ready to adjust to different looks and make their identifications and get the right five guys on the most dangerous five rushers. And if they bring six, then the ball's got to come out. It's a hot throw. So I was a little bit surprised to hear that. But, I just think, they have some major issues. And when it's an individual breakdown, yeah, the guy's got to win his one-on-one matchup. But, when a team's bringing, five-man pressures, six-man pressures, they got to get in the right protection. And what do you expect teams to do? The run game hasn't been great. David Njoku's out, so that kind of, takes away the tight end weapon and option. Amari Cooper came alive and looked terrific, made some unbelievable plays. So, of course, teams are going to light you up. You have a number of backup offensive linemen in. So they have to be ready. They have to go into this week and say, what are our base rules in this protection? Who are we identifying? The five O linemen have these four down linemen and which other guy? And if the running back's in the protection, who does he have? And if they bring an extra guy, Deshaun's got to throw hot. Where's his option?
So that was a great explanation. John Greco joining us on the show. So it leads me to another question then. Do we have an Andy Dickerson problem?
We talked about the impact of losing Bill Callahan in the offseason, and it was like, well, we'll see. And I'm not in the building to know how much influence he had on the run game, on the pass protections. I've been a part of teams where the offensive line coach came in and said, this is what we're doing, this is how we're doing it, and the offensive coordinator said, okay, sounds like you guys are on it. Let us know. And the quarterback should say, let us know who you're IDing and we'll work on it from there. And you were, working with the running backs, the tight ends were involved. Pass protection is an orchestra of guys coming together to block the most dangerous five and six guys. So I don't know. It doesn't look good. It looks like they've definitely taken a step back. So, are they running a different offense? It seems kind of like a hybrid offense where you have Dorsey's influence, you have Kevin Stefanski's influence, you have an offense that's trying to be tailored to Deshaun Watson's strengths. They're trying to force like a four and five headed monster on offense. So I just don't think they have an identity right now. But I don't want to immediately blame the offensive line coach change, but it sure seems like there's a difference with the way that they're playing without Bill Callahan. And could that be a scheme thing because of his influence and his design? Or is it just a technique that they're being taught now? Because it obviously looks different.
All right. Same question, different person. Do we have possibly a Ken Dorsey problem?
Same thing, Ken. I think it's too early to diagnose that. Like I said, I think that they're trying to. There's too many mouths to feed. You're seeing his influence on the offense. They're throwing a lot of darts right now and seeing what's going to stick, because I liked the jumbo stuff that we saw, and that's Kevin Stefanski. That's his influence, and the play action. Well, play action isn't as effective if you're not running the ball effectively. We all know that. That's no secret. And then, you see a lot of shotgun formations, and I get that. Deshaun likes to operate like that, and you're trying to, make him happy and play to some of his strengths. But it just seems like they're trying.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
To do three or four different things as opposed to it really to where they're trying to figure out what they're good at. And I think they're trying to establish some things to where, hey, okay, this is going to stick. We're good at this. We can run counter. We can run draws out of this formation. I just think that I don't want to blame him yet. I don't think that that's the issue. I know a lot of people are arguing, well, that's why he got ran out of Buffalo, and look what they're doing now. But, you know, they have Josh Allen at the end of the day. So I think right now it's just a myriad of different things that they're trying to do to see what sticks to what they could be good at. And right now it's not much. It's relying on hopefully the protection's there and Deshaun gets the ball off on time and a guy catches it. I can't pinpoint one guy being the issue right now because there's a lot of issues.
What have you thought of Watson so far? He is somebody who obviously had a miserable debut. He was much better in the Jacksonville game. Obviously, it looks like Jacksonville stinks, but hey, Watson had to play well and he did. And now this past week, it's weird because Watson had, I thought, some of his best passes. I mean, not just the touchdown pass. I mean, he had some accurate passes on the sideline to Amari Cooper. There were like four that stood out to me, but the numbers were still really bad. And the analytics, he's like the worst quarterback in the NFL analytically.
Yeah, Anthony, I think it's just consistency, and that goes for the entire offense right now. It's, you know, half the time he doesn't even get to the height of his drop back, and he's getting hit by two or three guys. When the pocket's clean, maybe no one's open, and he's tucking it and looking for lanes to kind of bail or extend the play. When everything's right, he's putting it on the money, and guys are dropping it. When everything's right, and he gets the ball off on time, he's missing guys by 5, 6, 7 yards. So I can't say there's just no consistency there. You know, do I expect him to put the ball on the money? Of course. We paid him a lot of money to do that. But guys got to help him out. When he's doing that, we got to catch the ball. And, you know, there has been times where, like I said, you know, guys running scot-free beat his man and the ball's being overthrown. But you're right. I mean, the play to Amari Cooper, corner of the end zone, it looked unbelievable. That's what we want to see. That's what we're expecting to see. Our best playmaker on the perimeter and, you know, the quarterback that we brought in here paid a lot of money to put the ball on the mark. They executed that. So it's there. We know. We've seen it. It can happen. But it's just wildly inconsistent right now. And, of course, he's seeing ghosts because, I mean, the guy's getting smacked in the backfield. You know, when protection breaks down, you know, guys, especially quarterbacks, as they their careers start to, you know, they get a little bit older, they don't want to take those hits. You know, there's guys flying around in the backfield at their knees, at their legs. Guys getting beat, but knocked down on their rear ends, and you know, big guys in the middle off twist coming through the pocket, the A and B gaps free. You know, that's going to make him panic and try to bail out of the pocket. So I just think the consistency across the board on offense right now is just not there. So you know, hopefully they're trying to figure it out in the building coming back tomorrow. Obviously, you know, what can we do to be more consistent? Let's, you know, eliminate the penalties. Let's clean the protection up because it starts there. I'm a former offensive lineman. I'm always going to say that because, you know, if you don't protect and block the guys up front, it doesn't matter what Deshaun's going to do and what the receivers do on the edge. He's not going to have time to get them the ball. So to answer your question, I think it's just been so wildly inconsistent. We've seen flashes of brilliance. Then we've seen things that were like, what the hell was that? And then there's times where we can't even assess it because he's getting hit, you know, as soon as he catches the snap.
Do you believe that Watson at all has played like a quarterback that will soon be replaced by a backup?
Oh, gosh, Ken, I don't.
That's not a no. That's not a no.
It's just such a tricky question with how much they have invested in him.
That's, yeah.
And how early it is in the season. And I'm going. This answer is based off of what that would look like doing that. The season's not over. It's mathematically, it's not over. I know it doesn't look great right now, and a lot of people are losing hope fast. But I've seen flashes to where it's like, no, I think that they can still win some games. I mean, the division's struggling. You know, obviously Pittsburgh looks good defensively, and they're doing enough on offense. But, you know, if you put Jameis Winston in there right now, are we really expecting it to be that much better? Like, is that the only problem? I don't think so. Are they going to magically be able to run the ball better and protect better? I don't know.
Yeah, John, the reason I ask is because, like, yesterday I was not entertaining any calls about replacing Deshaun Watson with Jameis Winston. And yeah. part of the reason was, like, and I was telling people, like, you don't live in reality if you're already thinking that. They're not going to do that. The investment is just too high. If you do that, once you walk through that door, you're never allowed to walk back through. And I don't care for whatever reason it is. We all know this. And yeah, and I'm being accused of not living in reality, going, Kenny, it's not going to work out with this guy. If you need to save the season, Kenny, then damn it, you need to make this change. I'm going, no, I'm not making that change yet. Not a chance.
Well, I think you're just being realistic about it, and I'm on your side with that opinion and assessment. I think that it's we're all going down with the ship if that's the case. But I'm still trying to remain optimistic. I know people. I put it this way: I get more people attack me more from being on your show than they ever have.
Good.
When I played, I'm like,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I want. Yeah. I want people coming after you.
Welcome to the Lions Den, Greco.
You see the toll this type of hit takes on you, John? You see that?
I thought you'd get a softball interview, not here.
What were you going to say, John? Sorry.
It's really entertaining because I was like, man, when I played and I was like, you know, a part of the problem that people were calling in each week, everybody left me alone. But no, I'm with you. I think that there's too much invested. There's too much on the line. There's other guys' jobs on the line to where if they pull the plug now, you're right. It's not a situation that's like, well, you know, let's give him 6 weeks to just kind of, you know, get his head right and everything, and then try again later. I don't think anybody's going to be the instant fix to where it's the season's going to be saved just by moving one guy. And I think everything that happened last year with Joe Flacco, that magical run, I don't want to say that was just kind of a fluke, but that's giving everyone now a false sense of hope that, like, oh, one guy can be the knight in shining armor that could just come in and the team's going to magically be fixed. I think there's just too many other issues right now at this stage of the season to where one guy isn't going to change everything.
John Greco, you know, I hope it doesn't have to happen, but at some point I will have to ask that question because a lot of people use it. And we're out of time, so I got to let you go. But keep this in your back pocket of how you answer, because a lot of people have said, well, what is Kevin Stefanski going to do when he has to look Miles Garrett, Joel Bitonio, and Denzel Ward and all these guys in the eye and say he's still playing an ineffective quarterback? I hope it doesn't come to that, but that might be an answer that you have to consider at some point in the future. John, it's been great stuff. We can't thank you enough for the time, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
Guys, thank you. It's always fun.
John Greco on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. John_Greco77 on Twitter. Fantastic stuff from him.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.